Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel, the Beatitudes, and in particular the Beatitude of Jesus: blessed are the pure of heart, or pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Spirit, so that we may trust you, and in trusting you, see you. For your word makes us clean. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think that you can see someone, another human being? Do you think that you can see who they really are? Do you think that you can understand them and know them if you don't trust them? If we don't trust someone as human beings, we can look in their direction and perceive that another human being is standing right in front of us. We'll use our eyes, but we won't see. We won't know them or be known by them. Even to see another human being, to really see them, we need to trust them. Well, this is how it is with God. The evidence for God can be right in front of our eyes, but without trust, we can't see God. And we can't know who God is. And we can't experience the blessing of being known by God. Now today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word. Jesus cleanses our hearts. He purifies them. And he does this by giving us his Spirit-filled word, so that we can come to trust God. And in trusting God, see who he really is. And also see each other as people loved by God. Now in the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about seeing and about what the eye means, not just as a physical organ of perception, but as a clue, if you like, to what our life with God is like. Listen to how today's reading begins. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, now in Greek, the first word of the great Sermon on the Mount is seeing. Jesus sees the crowds. The crowds have come to Jesus because they've heard report about what he's been doing. They've heard report about his teaching and about his healings. And we know that from the Gospels, when Jesus sees, then he has compassion. And we also know from the Gospels that one of the ways that he shows his compassion is in teaching. Now Jesus, I should say St. Matthew, hands on some details as he develops his narrative in the Sermon on the Mount. The first thing he says is that Jesus went up the mountain. And as modern Christians, we can think, well, we didn't need to know that, did we? What did he say is the important thing. But St. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus went up the mountain. And as we develop our sensitivity to symbolism, as reading the Old Testament helps us understand the new, we can see here that St. Matthew is drawing a parallel between Jesus and Moses, the great intercessor and lawgiver who also went up the mountain, Mount Sinai. And in fact, as the Sermon on the Mount unfolds, Jesus would explicitly compare himself to Moses and the law given through Moses. But he'll do this, Jesus will do this, as the one who fulfills the law of Moses. Matthew also says that Jesus sat down. That is, he adopted the posture of authoritative teaching, much like a judge in our society sits down to give his or her judgment. And it then says that Jesus' disciples came to him. Now all this is happening at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you read just before in Matthew's gospel, you'll see that Jesus has called his first disciples, Simon, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. He called them. They didn't choose him.
and by being called by Jesus, they leave everything and follow their master. Now, as Jesus goes up the mountain and sits down to teach, his disciples come to him, and he teaches them. Now, let's pause here. In the Gospels, people become disciples of Jesus by being called by him. You can't choose to become a disciple of Jesus. You need to be called. Well, what about us? How do we, here and now, become disciples of Jesus? If Jesus called people in his earthly ministry, then what happens now for us? Well, today we have had a baptism, and we will also at the 11 o'clock service. And the beginning of our baptism rite begins with a quote from the end of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus teaches explicitly about how we in the church now make disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, washing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, to keep everything I've commanded you. And surely," he says, "I'm with you always to the very end of the age." As we are baptized, as we are washed with the washing begun by Jesus, we receive and keep his word. And we who are not Jews by birth live together as God's people. Now this means that the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is teaching also for us. And Jesus starts his teaching with a list of sayings that in the church we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. Jesus starts teaching his disciples in the presence of the crowds by giving them a series of assurances of God's blessings. He gives these assurances to people who, from a human point of view, may appear to be cursed, even cursed by God. Now today, we'll look only at one of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." But before we do that, I'll make just some comments on the Beatitudes. Jesus starts his great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, not by telling his disciples to do anything, but by assuring them of God's blessings, by telling them about the reality of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom where he, Jesus, reigns, and by opening their hearts and minds about what it means to be his disciples. Now, here's an analogy for what's going on that I think works. See if it works for you. Let's say a coach speaks to his team at the beginning of a season. He might say something like this: "When you get up before dawn on a winter morning and you're out here training in the cold and the rain, then you are on the path to victory." Because teams that train like this, they are teams that win premierships. Or when you're on the field this season and the opponents sledge you, or when they try to do dirty tricks on you, you're on the right track. Because when that happens, you are playing well. Of course, it's unpleasant. No one wants to be up in the cold on a winter's morning before dawn. No one wants to be sledged or picked on. But when this happens, you're on a team that's going to the premiership. Now, if you can get this picture, this analogy, I think you can understand what's happening with the Beatitudes. He's letting his disciples know what life is like in the kingdom of God. And with things which seem, from a human point of view, like curses, are, from the point of view of the kingdom of God and the goal that Jesus has, the right path. Okay, let's hear again the one beatitude we're focusing on today. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Well, what could this mean, do you think? What's Jesus talking about when he says this? As I said previously, in the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about seeing. And he talks about how we use the eyes as well. So, for example, later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words, and listen to this, it's very unusual. Jesus says to us, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? But again, we could ask, what is Jesus talking about? This evidently is not advice for optometrists. He's not talking evidently about the physical eye. So how, as disciples, can we understand what Jesus says when he talks about the eye, when he talks about the pure of heart, seeing God? Well, one way to understand what's going on, this is the path we'll go down today, is to receive a parable that Jesus tells us later in Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. You may remember that Jesus told this parable in response to Peter, when Peter, asked Jesus what he and his fellow disciples would get by leaving everything and following their Lord. Now, on the one hand, Jesus assures his disciples that God is just, that in the kingdom of God, there is justice for those who labour in God's kingdom. But he also reveals to them that God is not just, but that he is fundamentally good and generous. Now, you might remember that in the parable, workers are hired to labour in the vineyard. Some are hired at the beginning of the day, and they agree to a specific wage. Others are hired later in the day, and they go into the vineyard agreeing to a just wage. And others are hired at the 11th hour, and they are promised no wage at all, but are simply sent to work. Now, at the end of the day, you may remember, the labourers receive their wages, and those hired last are paid first. Do you remember what they receive? They receive a whole day's wage, even though they laboured only at the very end of the day. Those also hired throughout the day receive a day's wage, a more than just wage, in fact, that they were promised. And those hired at the beginning of the day receive exactly what they were promised, a day's wage. Now listen to how the parable ends, and keep this in mind as we're thinking about what it means to see God. When the first came, they thought they'd receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, this figure who is God, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" Now listen. "Or are you envious because I am generous?" The literal translation from the Greek there is, "Or is your eye evil because I am good?" The landowner, God, is right there in front of them, but they cannot see who he is, that he's good, that he's generous, because they are thinking that life with God is only about justice. Now, God is just. He keeps his word. He deals fairly with human beings. The parable makes this clear. But also the parable makes clear that God is more than just. He is good. He is generous. And he shows his abundant goodness in showing mercy, in helping those in need, in helping those who don't deserve to be helped. In this way of reading the Beatitudes, the pure of heart, are those who trust in God's goodness, the generosity of God. They see the pure of heart, that God is not just, that he is not primarily like a strict boss, but that he is a true and loving father, who indeed has rules for his household, but who shows his fatherly love by helping his children in their need. Now, St. Paul put this same teaching today in the epistle reading. Listen to how St. Paul puts the same thing, you could say, theologically. He, God the Father, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In other words, the one who gave us the Beatitudes, the one who gave us the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ. He himself showed us the goodness and the generosity of God, not simply by telling us what to do, but by graciously giving us the forgiveness of our debts with God, of buying us out of slavery to sin, and washing us by his word so that we may have peace with God, so that we may draw near to God with eyes that see who he is. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our Lord Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is among us. He is here. Receive the words of your Lord Jesus, who gives you the mercy and goodness of God. Receive these words, and God will cleanse your heart, and you will see the true God who is the Creator and Father of all, and who shows his goodness and power, especially in showing mercy. Well, may God keep us listening to this word, sustain us in faith, cleaning our heart and opening our eyes to see God. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.